Thank you for assembling back with us for the second message on As a Thief. Let us begin reading again in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1 to get our place of beginning for this second message. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. That can be nobody but God. I know thy works, that thou hast the name, that thou livest and art dead. What should we do? Be watchful, strengthen the things which may remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So the Lord Jesus is telling them, you're going to change me into something that you have not experienced me as before if you do not wake up and take this warning that I'm giving you. I made you in my image in creation, formed man of the dust of the earth, and he became a living soul. I made you in the new creation, in the Holy Spirit, and he made us as a new creature. But, dear soul, did you ever think that you can make God in an image that is different from that which we came to know him as in the beginning of our salvation? He said, if you don't do these things, I will come as a thief. Look at Revelation 16, same book, the book of the Revelation, chapter 16 and verse number 15. Revelation 16 and verse number 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So the Lord said, if you watch and keep your garments, what is the garments of the saints? The righteousness of the saints. The linen garment is the righteousness of the saints. So he said, if you want to keep your righteousness, then you need to watch. We need to watch. Blessed is he that watcheth. If not, I will come as a thief, and you will be walking naked without any righteousness, and you will be caught up in shame. So we begin to understand that this is God telling us that our attitudes can cause us to have a different response from God. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 28. Our attitudes and our watchfulness and our bringing forth that which God has taught us to do as Christians can have an effect on God in how he deals with us as a thief. I don't want him as a thief. I want him as a shepherd. Then I need to watch and repent and do the first works. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So those who look for him, he will appear at his second coming without any more need to atone for sin unto a full and perfect and complete salvation. So looking for him. And that means having these words that God gave us in this first message and these verses that God gave us in our hearts and minds, and us carrying out the watchfulness that God has told us to carry out, then he will appear the second time without sin, without any further need of forgiveness of sins. He will come back as the Savior who has done a perfect work in you. If you look for him, and it will be unto your full and complete salvation. That is, those that look for him. Go back to 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians, but 2 Chronicles, chapter 16 and verse number 9. And this is a verse that I learned to quote many years ago when God first saved me. This was a blessed verse to me, and it still is. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, listen, to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. If your heart is perfect towards him, God will be looking for you in order to show himself strong on your behalf. So what he sees you doing and what he sees that you are dedicated to accomplish in your spiritual life as far as obedience and worship and your attitude toward Christ, it will have an effect upon him. If you are looking for him, he will come the second time and he will not have to bring you any more provision for sin. He's already taken care of it. You will be one who will totally forgiven of your sins, and it will be unto a full and complete salvation, which means your glorification. But it's contingent upon those who look for him. And this verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9, if your heart is perfect towards him, his eyes will run throughout the whole earth to look for you and to find you. To do what? To show himself strong in your behalf. Dear soul, that which you were yesterday depended on how God approached you yesterday. That which you are today, it will depend upon how God approaches you and relates to you today. I don't want God to be a thief. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. Jesus said that himself. I want him to come as a shepherd, the shepherd. I want him to come as the bread. I want him to come as the true vine. I want him to come as the door of the sheep to allow me to come in and find pasture to my soul. But dear soul, if I am not aught but a religious church member depending upon a legal morality, he is going to show himself as a thief. But if I'm resting in the person of Christ and showing myself to be completely trusting in him, relying totally upon him, looking for him to complete his word and do what he said and live like he told me to do, repenting, doing the first works, and obeying God's voice, then I can totally depend upon him to come back and manifest himself strong in my behalf. But without those things, he's not going to present himself to a dog or a sow or to a wolf or to a snake in the same way that he presents himself to a sheep. We must have sheep-like tendencies for God to have shepherd-like qualities. That's how it is. God's not going to act like a shepherd to a bunch of snakes. God's not going to act like a shepherd to a bunch of dogs. God is going to manifest himself according to that which he has raised up in you for his glory's sake. So we need to be careful in this last day and age and not grow lax in our spirituality. This is it has an effect upon us as how we approach God. Scripture, please. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, I entreat you, I plead with you. Therefore, brethren, and it's by the mercies of God. You don't have to face this responsibility without God's mercy if you're one of the brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, always dying in the body. Dying with Jesus through death, reckon mine. living with Jesus, a new life divine. Listen, dear soul, we need to understand that we need to die to our opinions, die to our desires, die to our old natural habits. We need to make sure that those things continually die, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. What will that do? It will render you holy and acceptable unto God. Does that mean if I'm not living as a living sacrifice and I'm not holy, that I'm not acceptable to God? Right. Right. See, the effect upon God's dealing with me depends upon the effect of my dealings with God. But it's all because God made me a sheep. Therefore, I want to maintain the relationship that I have with Him. That you are holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now listen. And be not conformed, pressed out in this world's mold, to this world, but be transformed. That was the word transfigured in Matthew 17:2. Be ye transfigured, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Dear soul, one of the things the Apostle Peter wrote in his epistles to the church was, I'm being left here to call to your remembrance, to stir up to in your remembrance. He continually talked about his ministry was to cause them to remember. This is what Jesus was saying to the church of Sardis in Revelation chapter 3. Remember from whence you are fallen. So it's my responsibility to call you to remembrance so that you might renew your mind. You say, well, you know what? I was lax in some things. I see that now. These messages have made me understand that I need to get back to a greater spirituality. Just because I don't have the opportunity to assemble together in assembly with the peoples of God doesn't mean that I can't live right before God. In fact, it can be the other way around. You may have been going home from church on Sunday thinking, oh, I'm very pleased with myself. I worship God. Did you? I please God. Did you? This assembling of ourselves together is an opportunity for us to commit some of the greatest crimes and sins against God. Oh, I'm not talking about anything physical. I'm talking about failing to worship. Worshiping Him in truth and in spirit. Did we? Well, we got excited about that high note in Amazing Grace. That was really good. I got all excited. Boy, that was great. You may have been farther away from God than you've ever been right there. Dear soul, we're talking about God. We're not talking about performance of religion. So he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that something? For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, among the church, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We have a measure of faith, every one of us. Whatever degree it is, it's up to God. It matters not whether mine's one talent, two talent, or five talent. It matters that I have faith and I need to live to the extent of that talent and live it before Almighty God and act it out according to that which He hath given me. God will help you do that. But we need to get back to a consciousness of God. It may be possible that we will have a greater revival personally in each of our individual hearts now that we are separated from meeting together than we were ever afforded when we were meeting together and depended upon that high note in Amazing Grace or somebody's prayer that really thrilled our souls and we got all excited about being excited. Excuse me. Let me get some more water. Now, 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, and verse number 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Listen, so he says, there's some other passages I wanted to read you. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That was a good passage, wasn't it? Well, that wasn't what I wanted to read you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perished. Listen, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Listen. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Think about it. Think about it in the context of this message. When they received not the love of the truth, Christ is the truth. He brought us the scriptures. They are the truth. So if I just receive the scriptures and don't receive the person of the word, I don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't love the truth. But I like the Bible and I like this structure of religion, so I get involved in it. He says, if you do that and you receive not the love of the truth, God will do something differently about his relationship to you. He will send you, God will send you, not the devil, God will send you strong delusion that you might believe a lie and be damned. Isn't that something? That they might all be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you see how all these scriptures are telling us that God is going to appropriate back to us that which he has manifested himself to be according to our appropriation to him in our belief and in our worship and in our love of God in the Spirit. So if you do not receive the love of the truth, then God will send you strong delusion. And may I grant you, dear soul, that strong delusion is upon this nation right now. People are being deluded, and it's crazy, the stuff that they're believing, when they could have had opportunity to believe the gospel, but having rejected it, now they're flooded in with all kinds of strong delusions that they might believe a lie and be damned. Dear soul, save yourself from this crazy hour. Get back to worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Get back to being excited about the Lord's word as you used to be when you woke up in your bed every morning and you begin to talk to God. Now you're waking up in your bed every morning, you begin to think, man, this is the day I got to go to the dentist, or this is the day I got to do this, or I still hadn't done that I needed to do, something that my wife asked me to do, or whatever. In other words, our minds have become filled with all kinds of stuff when God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and seek ye first his righteousness. That's the requirement. But we don't do it. God is not the first person we speak to every morning. We ask Google, what's the weather going to be? We'd rather hear her voice than God's. And before we get out of bed, we used to lay in the bed just for a moment and just seek God. We used to, when we would wake up in the night and couldn't go back to sleep for a little while, we'd lay there and pray to God. But now we lay there and worry about what's going to happen and about this, that, and the other. We need to get back to where we were. God said if we don't get back to where we were, he will not continue to deal with us in the way that he has, but he will come as a thief. You don't want to change the character of God in the way that he deals with us. The book of Acts, chapter 13. The book of Acts, chapter 13. He says in verse 22, and when he had removed him, King Saul wasn't of Tarsus, that was Paul. Listen, when he removed the first king of Israel, Saul, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. David's heart was made like unto God. Therefore, God could do all of his will through David. Saul was removed. He did not please God. God showed himself differently to wicked King Saul than he did with King David, a man after God's own heart. So it says in the very next verse, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. God did not come through David as a thief in the night. He did not come to David to show himself harmful, as we read in Joshua 24:20, that he might do you hurt after he've done you good. He brought himself to bear upon Israel because David's heart was one with God. Do you see, dear soul, that when we are properly related with God like we should be, God then is properly related to us in the way of salvation and in the way of bringing forth himself in the purity of himself as Jesus. But when we don't do what God tells us to do and we rebel against God, then we have to have God reveal himself to us in a way that is his strange work and in the way that he does not desire to if we had been right with him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I can't leave this out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. We don't need to be fooling around about times and seasons and one and this, that, and the other. Listen, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He's not going to announce it. You know in your heart that this is the way that it's going to be. And he says, for when they shall say peace and safety, when the world and the harlot church said, everything's all right, That's what Lot's son-in-laws did. And those daughters that were married with them died with them. They turned over and went back to sleep, wanted another a few minutes sleep, and would not heed the warning that Lot gave them to get out of Sodom. So they said, peace and safety. But when that is said, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. How? What is it like? Like travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Those of you that I'm preaching to that are adhering to this message and that it is causing you to work it out with fear and trembling, God said this day is not going to overtake you in darkness, and it will not overtake you as a thief. God will come on the world as a thief in the night, but not upon you. For ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but what? Let us watch and be sober. That's what he was saying to Sardis. Wake up. Strengthen those things that remain. You do have some things that remain. You can nurture them and bring them back to a healthy condition. It will be accepted for you. So we see that God is saying to them, I'm going to show myself to you according to your relationship, whether it be spiritual or carnal. I'm going to reveal myself to you according to the dictates of your deportment, of how you act. Let us go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, the last chapter in the book of Luke. Do you remember that we read you this in the first lesson, that when Mary Magdalene told the apostles that Jesus had raised from the dead, they didn't believe her, that after that, Jesus appeared in another form? Dear soul, we need to believe God, to believe his word. We understand and know that God in his presence in this world as it is invisible to the natural eye. But we look at things that are not seen by faith. We look at things, dear soul, upon with the eye of faith, and things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporary. People are passing off the stage of life in unbelievable numbers. We have funerals on TV showing us constantly of people that's dying. People that are announced that so-and-so now is dead. 750,000 Americans have died in the last year or so with just this one disease. It's unbelievable. We need to wake up and understand that we're not going to live forever. It doesn't matter how long the earth shall last. It matters to you personally, are you living for God right now? Because that's how he will approach you. Now in Luke 24, beginning with verse number 13. And behold, two of the disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Be honest with you, I didn't look up how much 60 furlongs were, but it was evidently short enough for them to be able to walk there. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's good. That they must have had a wonderful... No, read the next word. But their eyes were holden. Their eyes were... God withdrew the understanding of their eyes as who he was. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And this is what he said to them in verse 25. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You should have been prepared for this. You are cheating me out of the opportunity to fellowship with you as we walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Dear soul, the Lord Jesus Christ desires fellowship with us. You think it's just us desiring fellowship with him. But it's a mutual fellowship. And when we don't have the right relationship with God in spirit and in truth, it denies the Lord fellowship with us as well. He bought us. Why can he not enjoy us? Because our minds and hearts are separated from him now, not as they used to be when we first got saved. And as we ought to be, not just desiring religiosity to give us the warm, fuzzy feelings of hearing old lady long tongue sing that high note to make the hair stand up on the back of our neck, or hearing brother so-and-so pray those illustrious, flowery worded prayers that make us feel so good when we go away thinking, you know, this was just a wonderful day when you probably didn't even worship God at all. God is giving us opportunity, separating us from all of that, in order that he might bring us back to worship of the person of God. Our person worshiping his person. Now, they didn't know who he was, but therefore, who did they say he was? How are you identifying the Lord Jesus Christ today? Is he just that character in the scriptures? Is he that which you learn to say according to your religious catechisms, that he is the Son of God, that he is the eternal Son of God, that he's always has been and always will be, just that he was born in Bethlehem? Or do you know him by your fellowship and love and enjoyment of his person with you? Listen. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these? If the Lord Jesus were to come now and walk among us and observe our church services, would he scratch his head and say, what are y'all doing? What manner of communications are these? I came to fellowship with you. You know that I am freshly from the grave. I am freshly from death and hell and the grave. I am freshly come back to earth and coming from the pits of the damned. And only he can know how horrible an undertaking that was, an experience that was. But here I am, come to walk with you. And what are y'all talking about? What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? I just shouted on the cross, it is finished, it's done. The Father has raised me from the dead to show that I was a perfect sacrifice. And here I come back to my bride, and y'all are down in the dumps and poor mouthing. And the ones that I showed myself to, the women at the tomb, they wasn't believed. What's going on around here? Why am I not received in my own church? What are y'all talking about? I wonder if the Lord said that about the so-called fellowship around the dining tables as we had a meal between our services. What in the world were we talking about? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, means renowned father, but listen what he said. How did he identify Jesus? answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Wow. Here was the eternal Son of God, already took on their sin, already took on our sin, already died and buried and raised again, and was walking around yet to be ascended, but had already been resurrected, had already satisfied the Father. And yet, the renowned father of religion says, he's just only a stranger in Jerusalem. Jesus ain't just only anything. And he says, and has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days. We just want to talk about the things that have come to pass. I just want to read Facebook or Meta or whatever they call it now. I just want to read my email. I just want to read the homepage of that which controls my internet. Don't you know these things? It's like they're rebuking him for not being on the level of their ignorance. He's wanting to bring them up to where he is, but he finds them wanting to bring him down where they are. Friend, let's don't do that. Let's don't try to make Jesus come down to where we are. Let's rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Let's rise up to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, trying to come down to their level as the thief in the night, I come as a thief. I'm going to come down to where you are. And he says, what things? He knew what things. He was the one that brought these things to pass. But now they're going to have to explain to God how bad things are in their world of religion. Are you still arguing with that fellow that stood against you in your mind? Or are you giving your heart and mind to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you still aggravated about the way the things are going in this day and age, and you're not having things like you want them as far as religion? What things? And then they proceed to tell him. I would hate to waste God's time in telling him, well, you know, people are rebuking us for not meeting together. Oh, we're in a mess. Things are not right. Wait a minute. What about laying in the bed this morning and praising God for salvation by divine grace? What about thanking God that where your sin did abound, grace did much more abound? What about coming before his presence with singing and thanksgiving and entering his gates with praise? Why does Jesus have to come down to your level of prayer? Yes, God will say, what things? Well, everything's going up. Everything's getting bigger except my check. And everybody's sick. And I'm tired of going to funerals. Is that what you talk about? Do you think that's what your granny, if she's in heaven, do you think that's what she's talking about? Do you think that the people in eternal glory are talking to God about all kind of junk like that? Or are they not worshiping and praising God for the privilege of being in the presence of glory? Have you not been saved? Have you not been born again? Have you not been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? And is not that beyond price? Is not that that which cannot be bought with money? And if it had to be bought with money, who among us could afford it? What things? Oh, how sad. I'm sorry, Lord, that you had to come down to my griping and complaining that I called prayer so that you could walk with me. And this path that should have been two walking together and being agreed and fellowshipping together and having the wonderful things of God revealed back and forth between my spirit and yours, I'm sorry that it's just drudgery. And you having to listen to me gripe and complain going down the road. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, they're going to have to explain to him himself. Are you defining God to God? Wow, what a mess. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, which was a prophet, he ain't no more, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word, back then, but he's not now, before God and all the people, he was that. Have you got a was God? Have you got a was Jesus? Or do you have one who is a present help in time of need? When are you going to get rid of all that baggage? Well, Thanksgiving's coming. We can't get together. Christmas is coming, and they said if you hadn't already mailed your packages, they won't get there by Christmas. Oh, woe is me. What difference does that make in the scope and in the light of eternal glory? Let's get back to the Lord. He was a prophet. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. We want something done about what we want done. We want something done about justice. Excuse me. I keep getting air in my throat. Is what's going on in Washington more important to you than what's going on in heaven? Do you have a was Jesus? But we trusted. Now, here's what we wanted. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. He already had. He'd already cried out on the cross in John 19:30, it is finished. God had already been satisfied with him in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and 11. And beside that, and to top it all off, this is the third day since these things were done. He said he would arise on the third day. This is the third day and he ain't here. And they're talking to him. Dear soul, we don't know the times. This is the third day and it ain't worked out. And we read you in 1 Thessalonians that we don't have to worry about the times or the seasons. What we are given to be concerned about as a godly wife, spiritually speaking, is our God husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you want a wife to you like you are to Christ? Don't know who he is, fussing about how he ain't done what he's supposed to do, and denying him the fellowship of the love that you promised him when you said, I do. Listen. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. Didn't make us believers, but made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. They got there before we did. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. You mean to tell me you have had messengers from God, from heaven, telling you that he's alive, and you're standing there talking to him and telling him that he ain't here and that we wanted him to be here today. Besides, we really ain't supposed to be going to Emmaus. He told us to tarry at Jerusalem, but we ain't going to do it. we're going for down to the hot springs to a little rest and relaxation, and we're tired of this. And he done missed the deadline. Whew. My soul. It's a wonder God has anything to do with any of us. And certain of them which were with us, Luke 24:24, went to the sepulchre. Okay, we're going to go see ourselves. And found it even as the women had said. But we didn't see him. Now, he says to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Why were their eyes holden in verse 16 that they should not know him? Because they didn't believe the scriptures and because they didn't believe the ones that were sent to them, angels from heaven and women from the sepulchre. God had got them all trued up in three different directions. Got the scriptures from the prophets, got the word of God that prophesied all of this, you know, and got the angels that sent from heaven and got the women that came and told you what the angels said. Done, he's told you three times in three different ways, and you still don't believe it. So he calls them fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What is the definition of God for fools? Fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And he says, and he's going to sum up the whole scriptures, all of the scriptures by this. Ought not Christ, number one, to have suffered these things? That's his cross. And to enter into his glory, that's his crown. That's the whole thing. That's what it's all about. So he takes them back to kindergarten. Well, let's start all over. Where are you going to start? Well, Moses and the law. That's how I started with you to start with on Mount Sinai. I see y'all ain't going to believe unless I get you back. Have to recover you. And isn't it merciful of God to go back and start all over with us? Listen, in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You shouldn't have read Hosea to read Hosea. You should not have read Jeremiah just to read Jeremiah. You should not have read Isaiah or Joshua or whatever just to be reading religious stuff. They were things that concerned me. We wouldn't be in this mess and me not having the fellowship that I rightfully deserve here on this road to Emmaus, where you shouldn't be going if you had believed the prophets and believed the scriptures. Get back to the spirituality and understanding of the scriptures and understand that the way you understand the scriptures is John 5:39, they which testify of me. It ain't about being a Baptist. It ain't about being a Catholic. It ain't about being this, that, the premillennial or postmillennial. It's about Christ. We have brutalized God's scriptures to form our religious beliefs. And Jesus comes walking, and we don't even know who he is. You're only a stranger in Jerusalem. You don't know about our doctrines. Mm-hmm. My word. Listen. And they drew nigh unto the village, got near to Emmaus, whither they went. And Jesus said, this ain't where I was going. And he made as though he would have gone further, because he was going a lot further. He's going into the presence of eternal glory. They're just going to Emmaus. But they constrained him, saying, here they go again, abide with us. How pitiful. Dear soul, it would do us well right now just to fall on our face, as I said, if not physically, at least spiritually, and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Abide with me, O precious Lord. Help me, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. I've had all the scriptures fulfilled. 66 books have been handed me. Print and press was invented long time ago, And it's no longer illegal to print the Bible. Men have lost their lives for printing this. And it's just been handed to us. Well, I got a testament in my glove compartment in my car. I got a Bible in my locker at work. There's one that lays on the coffee table that we bought, that great old big thing that we shouldn't have bought. And we got our own personal Bibles scattered throughout the house. But where's our belief? Abide with us. And this is one thing that they said was right. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. That's what the apostle said. The night is upon us. Here we are, folks, in the bottom half of the ninth inning. Here we are in the last half of the last time. And we're concerned about everything in the world except that which God has handed us in a platter, sent you a man, given you the Holy Spirit, caused you to be able to understand, perceive, and know, and yet we say, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And he went in to tarry with them. Isn't that sweet? Oh, Lord Jesus, please come in to tarry with my people. Oh, Lord Jesus, please come in to tarry with thy people. Pass us not, O gentle Savior. Hear my cry, crying out to God as a true shepherd of God. Lord, have mercy on my people. They're concerned about everything in this world except the spirituality of their soul. And if they don't watch out, they're going to change God into a thief instead of a shepherd. And it came to pass as he sat at meat, at food with them, he took bread. I've given you the word, the scriptures. Now I'm going to give you those things that are made in order to show you the things that are invisible. I told you that I'm the bread that's sent down from heaven. Now, let's see if you can see it. And their soul, if they don't pass this test, they're going to hell. And he took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. And thanks be unto God. Their eyes were open. And finally, in this chapter, it finally says, and they knew him. But what did he do? He said, I'm not going to deal with y'all till you get back to the place where I told you to stay to start with. He vanished out of their sight. Are you not hungry for the Lord? Are you just wanting him to prove who he said he was all along? Are you just wanting him just to prove who he said he was through the written word of God? Does he have to take you back to the law of Moses and preach to you concerning himself? I thought that was what you were learning all this time. And then, if God is merciful, he will tarry with us. And he walks with us and he talks with us and he tells us we are his own. And finally, on one of these cool, crisp mornings, before the light appears, you wake up in your bed and finally he breaks the bread of life for you and you get back to praying and communing with him like you used to. And you reach out for him, but he's gone. When is he going to appear to these two again when they get back to the place where he told them to stay to start with? When is he going to appear to you again when we get back to the place of spiritual worship and communion with God like we were told to from the beginning? We were not told to develop a denomination. Jesus Christ didn't come into the world to develop a denomination. He came into the world to save sinners. It's about salvation, not about religious denomination. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? O merciful Savior. It may take you sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire or a busted transmission or your drive shaft falling off and you don't have any battery left for your cell phone, and you're just sitting there and you have to realize what a mess I'm in, and then you, at your wit's end, cry out to God and he brings you back to him. It may be that things go awfully wrong in your family or whatever, in your life, in your neighborhood, on your job, with your health. And he said, be still and know that I am God. Have you got still yet? Have you really cried with an humble cry, pass me not, O gentle Savior, do not pass me by. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Do you have that desire of wanting God more than you want anything else? Again, he says, listen, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy work perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. That's not anything that we can't do. It's not anything that we haven't done. He's not saying we need something that he hadn't already given us. We've got everything that we need. Reminds me of the waitress going over to the table, and the man calling her over. He's got about 2 inches worth of sugar in his glass. And he said, I need some more sugar. My sugar bowl is empty. My tea's not sweet. And she looks at him and says, sir, you don't need more sugar. You just need to stir up what you got. Ta-da! Listen, Christian, we don't need anything more than what we've already got. Strengthen that which remains. We just need to stir up what we got. Let's have a true God-accepted and received revival among us. And I'm talking about individually. I'm not talking about a meeting. See, that's how we think. No, not a meeting, but a greeting of God. Go out behind the hen house. Go out behind the barn. Get out in the woods. Go to a place where nobody else is there but you and God. Get back to a God consciousness and cry out to the Lord and say, it's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I want a revival. I need reviving. I need to do what you have told me to, because I don't want to change you from a shepherd into a thief. God bless you.